We're talking today with Mike Schulte with the Oklahoma Wheat Commission. Mike, we're in the middle of trying to plant this 2016 hard red winter wheat crop, and we've got obviously some progress being made. The latest USDA stats show, in round numbers, two-thirds of the Oklahoma crop is now in the ground. That lines up pretty well with where we would normally be for mid-October.
That is correct. We are a little behind where we were last year at this time. 65% of the crop planted compared to 77% last year. But if you look at the five-year average, we're right in line with where we normally are in Oklahoma. It's been a little bit of a different crop planting season. I've heard a lot of producers that, you know, they just decided that they were maybe going to start planting and they might have had 12-day, 15-day runs without ever stopping the drills. And, you know, normally we have some type of moisture that comes in during that time that hinders us. So it's been a little bit unusual when you talk to producers. I think producers in some instances have, you know, gone out and planted large areas and they might have decided to wait now for what they're going to go for a seed crop. There were some hopes that we would maybe have some early wheat pasture in the state. When you are looking around, I think that was the hope certainly 2 weeks ago. Things did look good when we did have moisture out there from some earlier rains. Here in the past 2 weeks, we've had warmer temperatures and certainly windier weather, and so that has really hurt us as far as the crop outlook. The crop is starting to wilt in places. Producers certainly hoping for moisture here in the next week or two. Also, producers have been having to contend with armyworm issues throughout the state on the earlier planted wheat. In some instances, we've been hearing producers having to spray twice up in the northern parts of the state in certain locations. Certainly not exactly what we had hoped for this fall planting season. I know we were hoping maybe for a cooler, wetter season, and we haven't seen that yet. We still have the hopes, though, that maybe we will get moisture here later on. I know that earlier predictions based out of the National Weather Center this past summer said we were going to have a cooler, wetter winter, but that just certainly hasn't been the case right now.
And as we go through this time of the year, of course, the hope for wheat pasture was there, maybe not as much now, but really any wheat this last third of the acreage that is planted, that pretty well is reserved for grain only. In other words, they're looking at harvesting with a combine next June.
That is correct. You know, producers, I think even that are going for the seed crop now, they could be planting. This is really the period. But just in talking with them, I think they're hopeful that maybe they'll get some moisture here in the next week before they go ahead and put that that final amount of seed that they have in the ground that will be used for a seed crop.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the efforts of the U.S. Wheat Associates and the work that you all do with them, with the Oklahoma Wheat Commission. They're one of the groups that you work with a great deal in efforts to try to sell a good bit of our wheat overseas.
Yes, U.S. Wheat Associate allows us to have 100 countries worldwide that we have representation in. Certainly, the marketing dynamics have been changing this past year because we have had a large abundance of wheat worldwide based on what other markets are offering us in the Russian and Australian markets. If you look back over the past 2 years, we have produced record yields. One thing that is interesting that we are seeing, though, is that still our consumption continues to increase. So, you know, while the dynamics are changing, we have specifically focused on Middle Eastern countries here in the past. I think that for us, our strategic approach is going to be focusing more on the Central America, South American markets as we move forward. We have countries in South America that currently are not buying wheat from the U.S., and we're hoping that we can gain market share in those regions because of the proximity, and we're hopeful that it is going to help us here in Oklahoma and the Southern Plains.
Move some of that wheat, obviously, into the worldwide market, which we badly need to do.
You know, producers are also having to contend with that. Here in our region specifically, you know, price is certainly lower because of the supply worldwide. And we haven't had, you know, really strong wheat crops the last 5 or 6 years because of the long-term drought. We are hopeful that maybe that those dynamics are going to change when we get into December and January, and maybe that those price levels will get back up there based on some of the things that we are doing with these countries in Central and South America. But we also are hopeful that we get moisture and that the outlook for the crop looks better next year, and hopefully we'll have a decent year.
Well, let's talk about one of the domestic things that the Wheat Commission's been involved with. You made a decision back earlier here in 2015 to try to work with OETA, and came up with a project through in cooperation with the Oklahoma Department of Agriculture. I called it The Truth About Wheat, trying to deal with some of these issues that we've got right now with gluten.
Yes, certainly in the domestic market, we have had issues with gluten. Several people making claims that you should cut gluten out of your diet in order to lose weight, basically creating diets based on what people with celiac disease have. And so the segment was put together by the Oklahoma Wheat Commission with the help from the Oklahoma Department of Agriculture to actually have a panel sit down and talk about what goes into producing a wheat crop, what is created with the end product, and why people who do not have celiac disease should not cut gluten out of the diet. There's certainly many fad diets that are out there in regards to helping a person lose weight with regards to cutting calories. One of the interesting things that happened in the segment was basically it shows that you can't just blame the calorie increase on the carbs. If you look at what consumers are consuming based on data from 1970 to today, we've had an increase in calories over all areas of the food group. And certainly changing, we're a less mobile society too. Dr. Jones, our registered dietitian from St. Paul, Minnesota, who sat in and has done a lot of studies on this topic, basically it told us we are setting more exercise is not as so much in our life to the fact, where Americans today, we have a remote control for our television, where we didn't have that in 1970. So there's lots of things that are contributing to this cause of obesity. But certainly the segment goes into talking about how a person should not cut grains out of their diet because it's going to cause other issues if they do.
I know that you'd indicated to me that you got some pretty positive feedback, especially from wheat producers saying, hey, good going.
We did get positive feedback from wheat producers in the state. I think that certainly there has been a little bit of frustration with some of the false research that has been conducted on this topic. When you look at the panel that was there, Julie Miller-Jones, who's a registered dietitian from St. Paul, Minnesota, she is a professor from St. Catharines University, has spent years on this topic. We have our wheat breeder at Oklahoma State University, who's highly regarded worldwide, Dr. Brett Carver. And then we also had Sarah Olson, a wheat farmer from Colorado, that did sit in on the panel. And our hopes for this segment is also that other PBS affiliates across the United States will pick this up and take the ball and with running it and telling the story that is the truth about wheat.
Overall, one of the things that you've been dealing with as executive director of the Wheat Commission has been this change that was mandated through legislation that you move from really a public entity as far as a part of the state of Oklahoma government structure to more of a quasi-private entity as of the 1st of July. I know that's been something that's occupied some of your time.
This past year certainly has occupied some of our time. It's been a process that's taken about 3 years now to get to this position to where we are going to operate much more like a municipality. We certainly think this is going to be better for us at the Wheat Commission because it's going to allow us to do things that we haven't been able to do in the past. I think in the future our goals are to maybe purchase some property and actually house a building that will give us an opportunity to showcase the things that we are doing with market development here in the state. Also maybe have the possibility of creating a research lab that we can use for promotion into the domestic and international markets. Certainly an exciting time at the Wheat Commission, and we just are hopeful that this is going to allow us to move forward to do so much more than we have been able to do in the past.